content presented on the following show by any host or by any guest should be used solely for your entertainment and enjoyment. The views and opinions of the following show are not necessarily those of the Whole Care Network, other show hosts on the Whole Care Network, or advertisers on the Whole Care Network. Shows on the Whole Care Network are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any disease or condition. Always consult a professional when making any changes to your physical, spiritual, mental, or financial health. And thank you for listening to the Whole Care Network.
How do you want to be cared for as you age? By planning now, successful aging is in your control. Welcome to Your Future Self. Featured on the Whole Care Network, On Your Future Self, we share real-life stories and trusted resources to help you plan for your care. And now, here are your hosts, Monica Stanchula and Christopher McLellan. Is it true I'm planning for my future self with my good friend Monica Stanchula?
Oh, you certainly
from Credit for Caring.
You certainly are, Chris. So good to see you again. Or I should say, Monica, hear you again, shouldn't I?
We could tell our listeners that we're so technology advanced now here on the Whole Care Network that we can actually see each other while we're talking, even though we're in different cities.
That's true. That's true. And it's so nice to see your face.
Yeah, because the last time we did this, we were sitting across from each other in beautiful St. Petersburg in your office. Mm-hmm. And now, about 18 months later, we're back on the air again. What have you been doing these last 18 months?
Oh, too many things to talk about just now. But it's great to be back with you, Christopher. I mean,
yeah,
we've been through so much, and there's so much going on in life right now that that we really need to talk to our caregivers about what's happening.
And that's why we've coined our new podcast series, Your Future Self, mm-hmm. because it can be in your control, don't you think, Monica?
It can be. You know, especially this year when so much feels like it's not in your control, it's a good time for us all to take a step back and reflect and think about what it is we can control and what it is we want out of our lives.
Right. And as we move forward in our new podcast series, we're going to be talking about a variety of ways how you can plan for your future centered around our four pillars of care on the Whole Care Network. That's our physical, it's our social, it's our financial, and it's our spiritual / holistic care, and how all four of those need to be balanced in order for you to be able to care for yourself and be able to choose the care that you're looking for as you age. But Monica, I have to digress here just for a second. Wasn't that beautiful music at the beginning of our pod? Wasn't that awesome?
I felt like I was in Saturday Night Fever. I loved it.
Yeah, because that's our era.
It certainly is.
When you think about it, you know, I'm not going to give away your age, even though, you know, you were, what, born in the 40s? Oh, no, those are my other sisters. Those are my other sisters.
Man.
You're a 60s child.
Yeah.
Or maybe a 70s. Oh, I'll get some bonus points. You were a 70s child.
All right. Good try. Good try at recovery, Chris.
I'm already in trouble with my real sisters, and then I'm in trouble with my sister from another mother, Monica Stanchula. But no, it is great to be back on the air with you. And as we look about caring for our future self, you've had some changes here recently. You know, in our first podcast series, we talked about creating a care team. And this is kind of an extension of that, but it's related to us as the caregiver, especially while we're in the midst of caregiving and after caregiving ends.
That's right, Chris, because we know that as time marches forward and as the challenges of caregiving change, some of those challenges end. And then what's next? What's next for your life? What are you going to do? And I certainly have had to face that. I think you have too, my friend.
Right. Then I'm just starting to figure it out. So that's why it's important to share these stories, because we believe on the Whole Care Network that it's through story sharing where diversity meets the road, to collaborate on a common cause. And our common cause is working with caregivers before, during, and after caregiving ends.
That's right. And Chris, this is going to be a great journey. I'm really looking forward to sharing with all of our listeners, you know, what we believe are the most important things that you can do for keeping your physical, social, financial, legal, and spiritual self together and enrich it as you move forward in life. And we hope you'll stick with us for this entire journey, because we think that this is a journey we can take together and it will be meaningful for all of us.
You really nailed it, Monica. Goodness.
Thanks, Chris. I can't wait to get started, Chris. How about you?
I'm looking forward to it, too. And I think it's important for all our listeners to know that over the next few episodes, you know, we'll be talking about caregiving before, during, and after caregiving through the lens of our four pillars. We've got some special guests. Our listeners might remember Amanda and Ryan Singleton from Singleton Legal in St. Petersburg. They're gonna walk us through the financial episode, but you never know what other surprises that might come on here in the next six episodes.
Terrific. I look forward to it, Chris. I can't wait.
So, Monica, I can't let you go without asking you to tell our listeners a little bit more about Credit for Caring.
Thanks, Chris. I'd love to. So we developed Credit for Caring after we developed Reunion Care, because if you remember, 18 months ago, what did we talk about? Building that circle of care, right?
Building that circle of care, and we're still doing that.
We certainly are. But one thing that's missing in building that circle of care is, how do we take the hassles out of getting the needs, the resources, and the products that you need to be able to caregive successfully? You and I have been in this business and for a long time. And so we know these resources. We know where to find, you know, help with food, housing, mental health, all those different things. But for the average
durable medical supplies.
Right. But for the average caregiver, you know, that would take a long search to find these things. And so we've taken the hassle out of that. We've built a suite of tools that ask you simple questions. And when you answer those surveys, then we give you recommendations. And Chris, just what you said about durable medical supplies. Not only do we give you information about finding the resources that are out there, but also the products and the equipment that you need to be able to keep someone safe at home and to maximize their independence and make your caregiving journey more meaningful and a little less stressful is what our hope is.
A little less, and that we all need. Is one thing 2020 has proven true. We all need less stress,
yes,
in our lives.
Yes.
And Credit for Caring will be available on the Whole Care Network. You'll have a very special landing page where you can go and access all the products at a very reasonable and reduced cost from retail.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're able to get them wholesale and we pass those savings on to all of our listeners. So we look forward to making them as available and as visible to your listeners as possible on all of your channels.
Visible is what we're going to be doing, because we'll have photos of all the products on our landing, Credit for Caring landing page on the Whole Care Network. So
Great. Just go
to the Whole Care Network and you'll there'd be a couple of ways you can search. You can type in Credit for Caring on the Whole Care Network and it'll pop right up. Or you can type in one or all four of the pillars and you'll be able to search content that's relatable to not only this podcast, but Credit for Caring and any of our content that's applies to our four pillars on the Whole Care Network. So, Monica, it's going to be great doing this with you.
Thanks, Chris. I'm so looking forward to it. See you soon.
Yeah, and I encourage all of our listeners to go out on whatever your favorite podcast platform is and subscribe to Your Future Self. And we'll look forward to receiving your feedback. So, Monica, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Chris.
And remember, Monica, it is in your control.
That's right.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another, yes, another episode of Your Future Self with my good friend, colleague, younger sister from another mother. Goodness, how much can I stroke your ego today, Monica Stenchula from Credit for Caring? How are you? It's been like forever.
Oh, Chris, it's great to see you again. I'm glad we're back at this.
We just have fun doing this because we enjoy our company. And yes. We also know that getting information out to our massive fan club, goodness. I mean, they're all over the world. You know that. At least you have your two kids living in Europe. So, I have a friend here and there, but it's always good to see you. And we've got some important information to share today about tax credits.
We do, Chris. And this is a really important issue. And I want to thank you ahead of time for your willingness to do this because, with inflation and everything that's happening right now, this is a more important issue than even in tax season, I would say. So, yeah, let's jump into it, Chris.
Well, you know, Monica, I've said many times that nobody has caregiving on their bucket list of things to do in life. And there's so many areas that impact our life once caregiving unfolds, and it unfolds in a moment's notice. But I think there are some states now that are starting to offer tax credits. And I think what you're going to do today is help us grasp what this is all about and how to find this important information.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Chris. But first, I want to back up a little bit. I want to talk more broadly about the landscape of caregiving and what's happening in terms of government and our rights. And then I'm going to focus specifically on those tax credits. Is that okay with you, Chris?
I'm all ears. I pay attention to what my younger sisters tell me. So.
Well, thank you. Well, we know that there are 53 million unpaid family caregivers right now who are absorbing this high cost of care. And with inflation and rising rents and everything else that's going on right now, this is a really important issue. And we know that families and friends are paying for this caregiving. And the field in general is called long-term service and support is the way that the industry looks at this. And most people think that this is going to be paid for by Medicare. And the sad reality is, no, Medicare doesn't pay for this. Because, on average, we live with 2 to 4 chronic health conditions that may impact our daily activities, but they don't land us in the hospital. So most of us are going to be at home receiving care, and Medicare doesn't pay for that kind of service. And few of us have a fat piggy bank or long-term care insurance out there to help to defray the expenses of caregiving that we're going to need as time goes by. Today, Medicaid is the primary source for paying for long-term service and support. And few of us, unfortunately, are going to qualify for Medicaid because of the income requirements. So they have home and community-based services that would be great, but under the current restrictions, we're just not going to get it. So family caregivers will have to continue to pay for this care. And most of us, we're doing it by asking family and friends to chip in. And help to defray the cost, and it's just a lot right now.
Well, I think that comes back to really the reasons why we do what we do is to try to get the information and referral out to family caregivers who, at a moment's notice, are thrust into this role without a lot of background information. And what you've created at Credit for Caring and what we've created at the Whole Care Network is an information portal where people can find these details to help them manage their caregiving day.
That's right, Chris. That's right. And it's more important than ever. And so I'll start with some good news. There are 4 states in the District of Columbia that are that have a really comprehensive long-term service and support program that we all can benefit from. And those include, and I think you have a slide for this, Colorado, District of Columbia, Minnesota, Washington State, and Massachusetts. So if you live in one of those five states, your ability to interact with the care system and your rights being honored as a caregiver and your ability to get the information and the services that you need at home are better than the other states. So there's the good news about that. But that still doesn't give you a tax credit. And that's what we're going to focus on now. So let's get started and run through these six states for those lucky people that live in these states. So Montana's the first one, and they call their tax credit Elderly Care Credit. And it is for 20% of all qualified costs, minus 30% of your qualified cost, and then up to $2,000. Is that convoluted or what, Chris? I mean, you're going to need a CPA in order to get that one done. The second one is North Dakota. North Dakota has something called a family member tax credit. This family member tax credit means you're eligible for expenses that you incurred as a family caregiver up to $4,000, but it's a percentage of your income. So if you're lower income, you'll get less of that money back. But listen to what is said in that. North Dakota is saying, keep your receipts because you can get money back under this tax credit.
It's good advice at any in care situation is to keep your receipts.
Yeah, it's really true. Yeah. The next one is Missouri or Missouri.
The show me state.
Which is, it's your home state. Which is the right way, Missouri or Missouri?
Well, it just depends on what area of the state that you're living in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
and there was at one point, of course, I lived in Missouri for 20 years, but so appropriate in this day and age. Well, some say, depending if you were a Republican or a Democrat, that's how you would say it. That was always a fallacy, but I don't, maybe it's true. Maybe it's true today because of the way politics is there today. Yeah. But one thing is for sure in Missouri, we all agree it's the show me state. So show us what Missouri is doing for tax credits.
Okay. So with Missouri, you must be registered with the state. And the state has a board called the Division of Senior and Disability Services. You must be registered with them. And that's under Health and Human Services or Social Services in the state. You must be registered. And after you're registered, you're eligible for up to, get ready, $500 or less, depending on what kind of care you provide. And that's their caregiver tax credit. The next state is New Jersey, which has the Caregiving Assistance Act, and that's 22% up to $3,000 of qualified care expenses. Again, keep your receipts. Right. Keep your receipts. Keep good books. And the maximum amount, that they will pay is $675 for the year. Then we have South Carolina, which has the Family Care Tax Credit. And they reimburse up to $100 per month for a caregiver that cannot work outside the house and $50 a month for those that are working and caregiving at the same time. I didn't find any documentation on how you have to register or validate if you're working or not. So be sure to check into that to learn more about the South Carolina program.
Yeah, and we'll have all these links in the show notes below, so don't worry.
Great.
as you're watching and listening, and we'll have all the links available. So yeah, I was rude. I interrupted my younger sister in the midst of.
It's okay, Chris. Thanks for that reminder. That's really great. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is North Carolina. And in April of 2024, North Carolina passed the Child and Dependent Care Tax Credit, which is an extension of the federal dependent and child care tax credit. And you can claim up to $1,100 in tax credits for care-related expenses. And this reminds me, there's something I forgot to say earlier, Chris, before I started on this list of six. And that is, this list is only for taking care of disabled and elderly people. This is not the child tax credit. They're two different animals.
They're two different animals, right.
Right. So I limited this list to just those that would be pertinent to our kind of caregiving, not child care, not paying tuition, those sort of things. Okay?
It is. And this is one of the areas of caregiving that is often not talked about, a juggling how not only do you get benefits, get paid, finding all the information that you need, because all this information is coming to you in the midst of an emergency.
Yeah. Well, no kidding. No kidding. And that's why doing a program like this and talking about it, hopefully we can catch some people early in their caregiving experience and educate them on what needs to be done. Because, yeah, picking up the pieces afterward, Chris, you and I both know it's frustrating and it's almost impossible.
And I think somewhere along the line, as being advocates like we are, we want to be in a position to where we can advocate for more tax credits, because not all states are on board.
That's right. That's right. But Chris, if you look at the next slide, I want to talk about this before we go on, since I mentioned the child and dependent tax credit that's in the IRS code. Chris, right now, without something new, this is our best bet. This is the best way for someone to get paid as a caregiver. And everyone needs to get familiar with this. So I put a quote directly from the IRS code for us in this slide. And I'm going to read it because it's too important. The amount of credit is a percentage of the amount of work-related expenses you paid to a care provider for the care of a qualified individual. The percentage depends on your adjusted gross income. The total expense, excuse me, that you may use to calculate the credit may not be more than $3,000 for a qualified individual and $6,000 for two or more qualifying individuals. Expenses paid for care of a qualified individual are eligible expenses if the primary reason for paying for the expenses is to ensure the individual's well-being and protection. And that may sound like a whole lot of gobbledygook, but what it means for us as caregivers is if there's a little worksheet within the IRS code simply for this purpose of qualifying someone as a dependent. And if someone qualifies, excuse me, Chris, you gotta take that out. If someone qualifies as a dependent, then you can take these expenses. And so I encourage everyone who's watching us to understand that you need to do this ahead of time. You need to understand that if you're living with the person that you're taking care of, you're more likely to qualify under the Dependent Care Act. And if you're a married person, yet you've moved to live with the person who you're caring for, that also qualifies you for it. But overall, it goes back to bookkeeping. It goes back to having the records and the receipts to be able to validate that you provided that care.
It comes back to what every tax attorney, CPA will say to you, keep your receipts.
That's right, Chris. And I mean, it even comes down to things like calculating your mileage. How many times are you driving to the hospital or you're driving to a doctor's appointment, picking up groceries or non-consumables that, you know, someone is using? All of those things need to be tracked because that's part of your caregiving experience. And I know this is really onerous and you have other things that are more important to do than this. However, we also know that financially, caregiving really can exhaust you.
It is. There's a variety of studies out there that talk about the estimated cost that a unpaid family caregiver puts out of their own pocket anywhere from $7,000 a year to $14,000 a year.
Right.
And I think those numbers are low.
I do too, Chris. I do too.
Because what often happens, and this is unsolicited advice for just from my personal experience, if possible, pay for any of your supplies with your debit card or your credit card. Don't pay with cash, because you'll always have the receipt when you put it on a credit card or a debit card.
That's right. That's right, Chris. And you know, at Credit for Caring, that's what we encourage all of our customers to do as well. As long as you're buying through us, you can send us a message at the end of the year and say, hey, send me a compilation of what I've spent on my account. We're happy to do that. You know, we're happy to help you with those record keeping. But you're right, Chris, that debit or credit card for gas and groceries and, you know, going to the pharmacy, all those things are so important.
A trip to the pharmacy, that does happen quite often, doesn't it, in the midst of
Yeah, and it seems like they're incidentals, right?
Right.
You know, you're picking up, gauze and Band-Aids and a thermometer, but those things add up over time.
Those things
which
add up.
Which leads us to our next group.
Well, of course I was going to lead you right into that. My goodness.
Great. So there are 10 states where there are refundable tax credits. This means that you can get a refund on your state taxes for your caregiving expenses. So Chris, we have a slide on this one. The refundable states are Iowa, Hawaii, Colorado, Louisiana, Maine, Minnesota, Nebraska, New Mexico, New York, and Vermont. So in these states, much like the six states earlier, keep really good records, because even though you don't get, you can get money back from the state as a refund against your taxes when you include your caregiving expenses there. And this is a really good.
Because state taxes could be kind of high, too.
That's right. Right. And Chris, beyond that, we also have 11 states, and we have a slide on this one, too. Now, these states are non-refundable, but they will reduce your tax burden. And they include California, Delaware, District of Columbia, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Rhode Island.
Oh, Monica, this is like as clear as mud, right?
I'm trying. I mean, it's really true, Chris. It's really true. You know, there's no consistency when it comes to this. And it's kind of like at the state's whim of whether they're going to do this or not. And this is no way for us to support family caregivers who are, you know, to be honest with you, we as family caregivers offset the same amount that the federal budget pays for Medicaid in a year. Or to put it another way, the amount that Walmart makes in profit in a year. These are not insignificant numbers. $648 billion is what is calculated as free care that is provided by caregivers. And we need federal programs that will actually serve us as caregivers. I mean, this is significant.
And this is what is so amazing in the many years that you and I have been involved in the care conversation, both as providing direct care to family members or spouses, and then advocating for folks like ourselves who find themselves in the role. We often come across folks who are, how do I want to say this kindly, making the rules and regulations who haven't been in the role.
That's right.
They don't understand. They're looking at it in a way that is not realistic to how the role really plays out. But I do think, and I'd want your opinion on this. Well, of course, COVID really has changed some of this. Care is more prevalent in the conversation. And I think there are some legislators who have recognized that. And there's some bills that are coming to the forefront that are going to help family caregivers.
There are. And Chris, if you recall, during the pandemic, we had something called the Earned Interest Tax Credit.
Right.
And that was a way to help families to offset a lot of those expenses. Well, those have dried up. And you're right. You know, once you take away those earned income tax credits and then you start unwinding Medicaid and you start disenrolling a lot of people that were on during the pandemic, now you have a whole new or a returning batch of caregivers who are once again struggling with all the expenses it takes in order to caregive. So we have the Credit for Caring Act of 2024. And Chris, to your point, we finally have some members of Congress who are recognizing how important it is to get some relief to family caregivers. In fact, it has a state and a Senate version on the state level. Mike Carey of Ohio is the sponsor, and there are 23 co-sponsors along with Mike Carey. And it's across both parties. And then on the Senate, on the same day, on January 31st of 2024, Michael Bennett of Colorado also presented the Credit for Caring Act of 2024 with 5 co-sponsors. So you would think that this would be able to get some traction. And Chris, I think I made a slide, and the slide mentions what it would cover. I mean, this is pretty significant. And this bill would give a caregiver a tax credit of up to $5,000 or for 30% of the long-term care expenses, not to exceed $2,000 in a taxable year. Okay, I know that's kind of convoluted, but this is our best chance to be able to get some relief for caregivers. You have to have an income over $7,500 because under that threshold, you're qualifying for Medicaid. So we're talking about people above that level who are providing caregiving services and could get a pretty significant tax credit for the caregiving that they're doing. This is our best, and this would require at the moment a change in the federal tax code in order for this to happen. But when it does happen, this is a breakthrough for us caregivers. And you know, the slide says it. It covers the cost of caregiving. It covers the cost of technology for home monitoring, home modifications, home maintenance, medication management, transportation that we talked about, keeping those receipts for, incontinence supplies and other supplies that we provide from Credit for Caring, and coordination of services at home or in a nursing home or wherever else, whatever location the person is receiving care. This is significant. And we need this legislation to pass, Chris.
And, you know, the other significant component of this, Monica, that you mentioned early on here about these bills, it's bipartisan.
Yes.
And that's the unique thing about caregiving and caregivers. There's no boundaries. Caregiving impacts everybody. White, black, green, yellow, blue, gay, straight. You know, there might be some cultural differences as it relates to care, but caregiving is the one social issue that brings people together from a diverse set of people, because we all just want to care for the person that's entrusted with our care and our care without the drama. And may I be so bold and say BS that systems put on caregivers while they're in the midst of an emergency. And what the work that you're doing to bring this to the forefront is really going to help alleviate a lot of even if it's just a little bit of stress, to where caregivers can find that help that they need.
Thanks, Chris. We need to do this, as you and I mean, as we've spent our careers advocating for This is important work. And if I can leave with just one message for everyone is you got to keep your books. You got to
keep your books. You've got to keep your books and you got to keep your books. And it helps you as you balance your future self. Monica, it's so good to visit with you again.
Likewise, Chris.
Let everybody know how they can be in touch with you.
Well, you come to creditforcaring.com. And you will find everything we have to offer there. And we'd love to have you visit and drop us a note on our Contact Us page. We'd love to hear from you.
And you can visit the Your Future Self podcast on the Whole Care Network and Credit for Caring on the Whole Care Network.
That's right.
We're everywhere, Monica. Until the next time, take care.
Chris, thank you so much. Thanks. Take care.